a time of rightly dividing the word of truth. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Ministries, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Well, as always, we are very grateful to bring these radio broadcasts to you. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and this week on Abounding Grace, we are going back to the book of Genesis and look at what the forgiven life looks like. Forgiveness, struggle with brothers, conflict with man, conflict with God, conflict with parents. Genesis is a book about the family. Genesis is a book of beginnings. And what a wonderful section this week in Genesis chapter 32 that we are going to study of understanding how grace affects the life of the believer. Let me start there today on Abounding Grace. Do we really understand the word grace? The program title has the word grace in it, Abounding Grace. What is grace? Do you know? If I were to ask you today to define grace, you would probably say something like, well, it's God's unmerited favor to us. And I would say, amen. But in what way? In what way do we receive unmerited favor? How does God act in the life of a believer? What does he do? What is grace? I've become more and more convinced the reason people have had such a long history and problem of defining grace is because you can't really even begin to grasp it until you receive and experience God's actual working of it in your life. It's not something that we just rationally attach a definition to. It's something that we are ever growing in our understanding to see the Lord working powerfully in the life of one of his children. So while we can define grace outwardly as unmerited favor, we really need to begin with the question, what does grace look like in the life of the believer? We meet God here in Genesis in his grace in a whole different manner than we would expect. In fact, I don't know today that what is presented before us is really the kind of grace that we like or that people are often looking for. Everyone today says they need grace. We want grace. We need from the Lord grace. Here's the amazing thing. The grace of Genesis chapter 32, the grace that Jacob received in his life was assaulting. It was crippling. Jacob is reduced in this chapter to the strength of a doll. All of his strength is removed. Here he is pictured as assaulted by God himself, and by the end of the chapter, he is forced to cling with all that he has to the God of Abraham. As everything is ripped away, it was in that very painful loss of himself that he finally found life. This is the heart of what Jesus said. I've always wanted to understand it, and I see it throughout the Old Testament in the lives of God's people. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. Grace, dear listener, is God's way of making that true in us. We would never choose in our own power to lose our lives for the sake of Christ. Grace could be defined as God's painful working at times in our lives to bring us to nothing, that we might, in his grace, be raised a new creature, totally dependent, clinging to his Son and the promises of the gospel. And so today, I want us to see what Genesis 32 is all about in its glory and what the Lord is doing here in the life of Jacob. Be ready this week, as we study this, for God to cripple you, to bring you to nothing. For it's in that very loss of yourself that you truly gain that which is most important. I want you to think for a minute with me about how this grace came to Jacob. In chapter 32 of Genesis, it comes to us in the heart of a study of the life of Jacob. I love studying Jacob's life. All the Old Testament saints, of course, are fascinating to study, but Jacob stands out for me. I come to many verses in the Old Testament, like Psalm 46, that ends with something like this: "The God of Jacob is with us." That should be one of the most shocking statements you've ever heard. The God of Jacob? Do you know what Jacob was like? His very name testified to what kind of person he was. Jacob's name meant deceived or schemer. His whole life told that story. He was a self-made man. He was always going and progressing in his own strength, his own ingenuity. He was independent and self-sufficient, and he was going to obtain the blessing of God his way. Remember the story of Jacob? Jacob was born a twin. Remember Jacob and Esau. And remember, as time went on, that he, with mom, schemed a great plan to steal his brother Esau's birthright. What a sad thing. Go on, he deceived his dying father Isaac for the blessing by putting on Esau's clothing. And again, in a horrible scene, he obtained these blessings through deception. This has been his life. He was a rebel with a cause. A rebel of deception. And here we are. What an amazing section in Genesis 32. Because as we come to chapter 32, this comes on the heels of a whole life having been spent in flight from the promised land. He is pictured as a prodigal son. He has been away from the land. He's a fugitive. He has been off in Haran running. He spends all these years with his scheming uncle Laban. Jacob is your Old Testament parable of the prodigal son. He had no care for his own father. All he cared about was himself, obtaining the blessing now. Now here's the most amazing thing through it all. If you were to study through the life of Jacob, what you would be overwhelmed with is that God, even through this whole time of Jacob being a prodigal and running, God had been with him. God had made a promise when Jacob left the land at Bethel. Remember that promise in Genesis chapter 28? Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set upon the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord, God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." Did you catch that last statement? The Lord said to Jacob, "I will be with you. I will keep you. I will fulfill everything I've said." And the basis of all of that mercy, the basis of all of that grace, was in no way dependent upon Jacob's personal faithfulness, because there wasn't any. It was in the fact that God, out of his wonderful, gracious word, spoke a promise to Abraham. And that is what God had decided to do. That's grace. We don't deserve anything. And God, out of his own resources, out of his own purposes and his own decrees, decides to set his love on his people and to bless them, to make promises to them, and to be with them all the way to the end. So this is where we are. In these last chapters, he has been held in bondage by Uncle Laban. Now he's broken free and he's coming home, coming back to his father, coming to the promised land. Now, what do you expect at this point? Well, we can say that the Lord's amazing grace is beginning to woo Jacob's heart. We're seeing something happen here. This is an important point. Jacob is slowly being won. God didn't come down with a hammer of the law, hard-hitting commands. They don't change the heart. It's the gospel that changes the heart. It's the gospel of his love that wins over the wayward and prodigal son. And what an amazing section here, because that's what we learn about Jacob. That's what we see about Jacob. Oftentimes, we expect God to strike somebody, whiz, bam, to make them automatically brand new, sanctified, and changed. But God works through the little things in His ordinary providence to change. And what we see here in Genesis 32, what we see here was a slow process, of the Lord working and wooing Jacob back to Him to bring him to the place where He would have him. What an encouragement. God is not often in a hurry. God is patient. He is changing our hearts through His constant, relentless grace. And let me just say, if you have a prodigal son or daughter, what an encouragement this message is. In chapter 32, we have set before us Jacob's hard path of repentance, because everything now is turned on his head the moment he starts to come home. Listen to verse 1. So Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Literally, it means the double camp. Now, this is really a glorious scene, because what we're picking up here is that the promised land is guarded by the angels. And here are the angels. God had said He would be with them. As He's just about to enter the land, there they stand. The Lord was assuring Jacob that He had never left him and that He would be, through it all, his protector. But what is about to happen here in Genesis 32 should make us really think about what God's grace looks like in the life of someone whom He is saving. On his way back home, Jacob has to pass somewhere. He has to go through the region of Seir. Seir was the country of Edom. And lo and behold, guess who was the Lord there? The Lord was Esau. Esau, his brother, his twin, was a powerful lord over that whole region. But here's what gets me. The Lord makes Jacob years later confront his past. And this is where I want to leave us today to think about where grace is taking us. Listen to verse 3. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir. And notice the language. "Speak thus to my Lord. Thus your servant Jacob says, I've been with Laban. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, and male servants and female servants. I'm giving these things to you. I want to find grace in your sight, O Esau." Wait a minute. Jacob had cheated his brother for the birthright and blessing to be the one who was first. And even so, it was his by God's sovereign election. Esau was a reprobate. Jacob I've loved, Esau I've hated. But wait a minute. Notice the reversal. I am the servant. He is first. He is my Lord. It's a title for someone who's in a greater position. Mount Seir was not on the way to the promised land. Jacob could have avoided this by miles. Jacob goes there. Jacob is giving it back. He's pleading for favor in Esau's sight. I think to myself, Jacob, what are you doing? And yet, dear listener, what we've come to is a new man. Jacob, the schemer, is now making things right with his brother. The grace of the Lord has deeply touched him, and now he's going to do the hard thing and reconciling with his very brother, his own enemy, that he would be restored and again find favor in his sight. This, dear listener, is what the Lord calls the believer to do. We're unpacking this week what the forgiven life looks like. When you've known the forgiveness of Christ, you can't help but to forgive your brother. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program. We humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. Write to us at Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, or you can go online, agradio.org. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.